The views expressed on this Turnbuckle Tabloid live stream or Turnbuckle Tabloid podcast episode do not reflect the views, thoughts, or opinions of the RageWorks brand, including the RageWorks podcast network, RageWorks content partners, advertisers, and affiliates. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
Why do you think the business is in the state it's in, bro?
Just give me, you haven't done a drop for me in a while. Just do another, ID, Turnbuckle Tabloid, Hank Flanagan, whatever. You know where it is. Cut it.
This is Hank Flanagan chilling and sitting here at the Turnbuckle Tabloid with Jay Sante.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Talk about having a rough week. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh. I tell you, you guys think mental health isn't an issue? Come work with me. Honestly. You'll see how ridiculous it is in this world. When you're dealing with people who are really suffering and struggling with mental health issues, just sit on an 8-hour tour with me. You'll get it. You'll definitely get it. So much going on, not only with that, but also in wrestling this past week. So, there's a lot of layers to go through, a lot of stories. Just a multitude of news stories that we have to dissect. I'm looking forward to wrestling right now. As some wrestling we watched this past week as well. Slammiversary was on. I was finally able to at least catch a large chunk of that, which is great. And I was actually caught the highlights of the rest of it. I like what I'm able to watch wrestling when it's live. I get excited when I can. But also this week was Father's Day. I've never been big on Father's Day because Father's Day for me is every day. It's not just a one day occurrence, but Father's Day was this past weekend, and shout out to all the fathers out there who were doing it up. No, ladies, just because you're a single mother, this ain't your day. You already have your day. It's in May. Chill out. Chill the fuck out. You know, I'm a co-parenting dad. I don't celebrate Mother's Day. Let's keep it real because I'm keeping it real. But like I said, shout out to all the fathers out there. Big shout out to all the fathers who are supposed to be doing what they're doing. It's not like the Chris, it's like the Chris Rock joke. You're supposed to be doing your shit. Make sure you keep them off the pole. Keep your girls off the pole. I'm a girl dad, so you already know what it is. Young woman dad these days now. And, there's a lot to unfold with that. I've always told people that, fatherhood is such an amazing thing because it's like, we kind of want to correct the mistakes that you've probably made, but you know you can't. But when you still see like a progression going that is going the way you like because you think you've been doing pretty good of how you've been raising your kid, it makes you feel good. It makes you feel it makes you feel part of the bigger picture, man. I look at my daughter like every day. And each day I look at her growing and I'm just like, who the fuck allowed me to fucking impregnate them? Shit. Were we drunk on some shit? And then to create this fun, goofy, mature, wise, ahead of her fucking ahead of her own age young woman who's actually a pretty cool kid. I know you guys who've been following me since the beginning of Turnbuckle Tabloid, and even in TRSS with the regular season sportscast, I've spoken about Super Producer Selly. And, you know, sometimes you would have heard her years ago on the show. She would talk wrestling with us, or she would make football picks. She's a good one to do the football picks, and she only would pick the teams because she liked the color of the helmets, what the design was. She actually did well that year, too. She came in second for doing that. But with that, I've been podcasting 5 years, made TBT and TRSS. I made podcasting altogether 7. Oh, yeah, 7 years. So which means that she's been a part of it for half of her life. And she's always been that kid that knew that daddy has his regular work and then he has his podcasting work. And when, you know, it's his time. And she never had like any resentment for it. Never was like, oh, you don't have no time for me, you don't have anything. Because I've always found a way to make that time. You know, we share things. We go to events. We've gone to wrestling shows. I pick her up every day from school. We have those conversations of how school was and such. We've even having these now mature conversations about our next level of growth. And it's pretty scary. But fatherhood is it's an amazing position in life. I'll talk more about it after I do the intro, because basically I just have to say welcome everybody to another episode of Turnbuckle Tabloid. I am your host, Mr. A to the Mat, the King of Talk Solid, as always, the Cheap Thrill, Jay the Red Santee. I went and actually bought this portable mic. It's somewhat similar to a pen mic that you would see on, like talk show guests and such when they're coming on to, on a panel or something. But, this one is, connects to the phone, and it actually has been working really well. I'm shocked that, cause I would usually have to hold the phone in my hand or whatever, but I bought this and it's actually pretty decent, I gotta say. So, hopefully you guys can hear me clear. Once again, I'm doing it, I'm on remote. I'm doing it from work. So, if you hear like something in the background, that's just the air. Make sure you check us out on all the social media outlets. Check us out on our like and group page on Facebook. Make sure you check us out on Instagram on Turnbuckle Tab, as well as on Twitter at Turnbuckle Tab. And be sure you check us out on YouTube and on TikTok at Turnbuckle Tabloid. Also, be sure you check us out, follow, download, subscribe, stream on all the podcasting outlets, iHeart, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you can find a podcasting outlet, we are there. I know I always say that because there's somewhere along the line you're listening to us here. So just in case that whatever podcasting outlet you're using doesn't have us anymore, or it's not working, or you think you want to use a better feed, we're on many, many, many other podcasting outlets. So make sure you check us out there. Also be sure you check us out at RageWorksNetwork.com. That's an option as well, where RageWorks Network has our family of podcasts. Of course, you guys, No Choice in Text, Black is the New Black, Trek Untold, much, much more, guys. Always check out the family at RageWorksNetwork.com. And as always, check out RageWorks.net for all things connecting the world of pop culture, video games, movies, TV shows, comic books, toys. It's a all connected. You hobbyists, we talk about their stuff there too. So be on the lookout for reviews, previews, contests, giveaways, whatever is available from the family at RageWorks.net. RageWorks.net. We do it for the culture, baby. Pop culture, that is. So, yeah, so going back to what I was talking about with Super Deuce Sicily, this was a full week, but it was also one that gave me a reminder of what you know, the purpose that I have now, that, you know, I've been doing this fatherhood thing for almost 15 years. It kicks into me now. All right. I'm a late starter. But, guys don't know, Super Producer Sally goes to a school and she's going to school for filmmaking. And I wonder where she gets the creativity from, right? So she had her two short films debut at a film festival. And, she did very well. She had a very strong and positive reaction from the audience, and to hear that and to see, you know, the crowd give such admiration for the work that she did, it reminded me of like when I would perform, when I was in when I would do theater stuff or do stuff in front of the camera, and I look at her hoping that she takes advantage of it, because I never did. You know, I was too ego driven and I didn't have the resources that she has now. And when you see that with your child and them growing, it's a stark reminder of what your purpose is when you become a parent. And it's a beautiful thing. I get a little sappy sometimes, but let's get back to what we're really here for, which is going to talk wrestling this week, ladies and gentlemen. Much to talk about. Yes, we're going to still piggyback off the WWE investigation that's going on. We're going to go talk about what occurred, the aftermath of Jeff Hardy's DUI. Much, much more on the table, guys. There's so much to talk about. Also, around the square circle, I'll talk a little bit about Slammiversary, what we listen to. I'm actually having a really good time listening to William Regal's new podcast. I was waiting. I heard the announcement that he was having one. I was so excited because the guy has so much stories and is a funny motherfucker too. So I'll give you guys a sneak peek of what's going on there as well, and much, much on the table. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around. We will return. And, check you guys in a second.
Big shout out to all my wrestling heads out there. No cap, those who still showing love for AWA, WCW, NWA, CWF, Mid-South, and all things cracking in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We doing it for y'all. Get it. Doing the large Big Show style. Fashion out here representing. Let's go. What you know about body slams and headlocks and Stone Cold's Boldy and Kofi Kingston's dreadlocks? ECW, before Meanie was blue, Kurt Angle was breaking ankles, screaming out,
oh, it's true.
Harley Race folded U.S. champ belts and stiff chops from Benoit gave you chest swaps. DDT from the top rope suplex off a ladder. The Rock reminds y'all.
It doesn't matter.
DDP to Goldberg Street. Eddie G went radical, then Latino, he Bruno, Pedro, and them damn Briscoes. Hogan went Hollywood, NWO, Macho Man, Sky High, dropped them elbows. NXT, Matt Riddle, Full Set, Chance Bro. The Dream told stories about those hard times, Stan Hansen and Bradshaw through the clotheslines. Arena goes black and one light in the ring, light on, crowd pops, here comes Sting. John Cena gets booed, now he's a moving maker. American Badass, the Dead Man, or Taker. When the Heartbreak Kid was not your boy toy. Now who's the man? Becky Lynch, a nature boy. The Hitman, sharpshooter, best submission. Favorite tag, LOD or Demolition. Wrist locks, hip toss, and them arm drags. Steamboat, Jake the Snake, pulls Damien out the back. Kurt Hennig, Dolph Ziggler, hits the zigzag. Super kicks, Young Bucks, with the hot tack. The Big Dog, Roman Reigns, and Jesse the Bod. MJF is the new Hot Rod. Your BC throw up's too sweet. I'm watching MLW, Impact, and All Elite. I'm so wrestling. I did it again, y'all. Brought it back. Fashion back in the building. Tell you, don't sleep. Yo, when I come in Turnbuckle Tabloid Studios, I get it popping all day, every day. You know what I mean? That's how I do. From turnbuckle to turnbuckle. Mid car flyer, you know what I'm saying? Doing it for my peak. Big up to all my wrestling fans. Where you at, yo? Throw it up. Let's go. Too sweet, y'all. Stay tuned for part two of this. Starrcade. That's how we do it over here. Turnbuckle Tabloid on this side. Let's get it popping. Oski, my man Jay Santee. Get it popping. So wrestling.
It's good to be the champion.
Shazam!
I have to announce to you that I will never retire.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
Fuck it. Fucking bullshit.
This song is brought to you by
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
This is the absolute Chris Cage, and you are listening to Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It's Wrestling Rundown with Jay Santee.
Live from New York, it's
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
It makes me sad that I can't play music underneath it. I mean, I could play instrumental music, but it's more like the copyright free kind of music, and it's like, nah, it's not the same. Before the mics go on, I'm usually vibing to what's on my playlist and shit, and I'm like, shit, I wish I could play fucking just the instrumentals while I'm doing the news stories and all that. One day I'm going to make it so big that I'm going to be able to do that without any fucking copyright strikes and shit. Like, one day I'll make it. With all you people's help, you guys will help me get through this. And plus, I got to work, you know, a little bit harder, man. Like, live stream more and really give a fuck about how many people are following and give out more fucking business cards and tell people, hey, look at me. I think I do okay. I think I'm having a good time. But yeah, I would love to fucking play instrumental music in the background while I'm doing the show and stuff. It had me vibing. But sometimes I've also heard that you do that and people tend to zone out of what you're saying and they're paying attention more to the music. So, that could not be a good thing as well. But, I mean, whatever. But as always, I'm the Norm McDonald of this segment, and you're listening to Wrestling Rundown's Weekend Update. So I'm coming out a little bit late this week because of I wanted to get more notes on what was happening this past week, especially with the heavy news stories that was going down the way, the allegations and the arrests and stuff. So bear in mind with me, plus Father's Day, and there was a pay-per-view this past weekend. I just wanted to make sure that I could put everything all in one basket so I could give it to you guys out here. So before we continue, I want to be big shout-out to our guy. Damian Priest was one of the ambassadors at the Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City this past week. Damian Priest, a New York City native, and you know he's Puerto Rican, right? That's the big joke that we have on this side in Turnbuckle Tabloid, especially with the Will, that I constantly have to remind people. Well, it's not only me. It's been known that many a Puerto Rican are very in tune to let people know that a certain celebrity or person with status is Puerto Rican. You know, you'd be like, Killer Cross, you know he's like one quarter Puerto Rican, right? You gotta make sure that. Listen, there's not many of us out there. We gotta let people know. Listen, hey, yo, Borica se respeta. You know what I mean? Coño, man. No, I didn't go to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. No, I'm not the type of Puerto Rican that celebrates once a year. I'm Puerto Rican every day of my life. I don't really need to walk around with a flag that's draped over me like a cape, or wear a big T-shirt with a coqui on it, or a guayabera. If you know what a guayabera is, it's basically a flashy button-down shirt from the Caribbean. It's basically a Puerto Rican type shirt, and it has a flare to it. There's like dual pockets. It's very light. And I need one. I need to find me a guayabera. I'm going to find me one of them shits. I'm going to go to a thrift store, see if somebody has a guayabera over there. Maybe you've earned your status as a man when you wear a guayabera. Although, not sure I can wear guayaberas with sweatpants, but I will try my best to make it look good. It's very, very stylish. But yeah, Damian Priest was an ambassador at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Shout out to him and Boricua!
You're a real idiot. You know that?
Big E showed on his Instagram recently that his neck braces no more. Seems as though his treatment and his therapy are going well. He showed on his Instagram a small video in which he takes his neck brace and throws it in the garbage. So, congratulations to him. Let's not look for a speedy recovery. I just want to make sure that everything's well with him, and slow and steady. Let's get him back into form. And I'm not even looking forward to him to get in the ring. I just want him to get better and heal up. So, good luck to him, sir.
Do you understand me, Heffa?
Looks like Mark Briscoe is a dad again. I did not know this, but Mark Briscoe is a 7-time father. Jesus Christ, lady. It's a vagina, not a clown car. Fuck. Wow. Congratulations to the couple, the Briscoe couple. They're celebrating their 7th. Looks as though that, we're not sewing that shit up. Wow, those hillbillies know how to produce, boy. Ooh. Yeah, maybe you need a TV. Cable, something. Like, shit. Hell, fuck it. They make money, right? Like, make as many kids as you want. Make that money, kid. Congratulations to them.
You know what? You just made the list.
Ronda Rousey and made some comments about the women's locker room this past week, saying that it's very distant and could be a catty situation back there. And Natalya, which will tie into another story, made a mention of saying, yeah, how would you know if your locker room is basically your bus? Ooh, shade. After that, there was a response in which Ronda Rousey made a certain reference to Natalya and her cat, her love of cats, and her OnlyFans, which coincides with sister porn fetish, in which Natalya responds to, yeah, I guess, and this is just off the head, response was, yeah, I guess it would be, I would rather be alongside that fan base than be with someone with a right wing politics and other means of media. Yeah, it's getting a little bit personal over there, ladies and gentlemen. Ronda's not losing her belt. Just want to let you guys know. But yeah, oof. Oofa. I like that. Catty. Meow. Why is it that when women do it, it's catty, and when men do it, it's like, bruh.
Stupid, 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 stupid.
All right. Tessa Blanchard is done with WOW. Seems as though that the Federation is done with her bullshit. And after having her bump heads with AJ Lee for some time, yeah, looks like they're parting ways. That woman just knows how to burn a fucking bridge, boy. She burns that shit quicker than napalm. I'm telling you. So that's too, because she's actually a talented wrestler, man. I was actually a fan of her. She was on her come up, but looks as though that I really don't think she gives a fuck about wrestling and really doesn't give a fuck about the people in the locker room. Which, listen, you don't have to be friends with everybody. I don't go to work to be friends with everybody. That's not my fucking goal. We cool. We not. Hey, fuck it. As long as you get your job done, I don't give a shit. Just do the job. But it looks like she can't do either one right now. Which is a shame because, like I said, talented fucking wrestler, man. She was on the peripheral of being a top tier wrestler, as in same conversation with like Becky, Charlotte, Thunder Rosa and shit. But looks as though she can't even fucking handle her own business outside the ring than inside it.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
More down the line, Sasha Banks recently just had eye surgery. And with that being said, there's also talks of her being released. It's not been confirmed yet, which is shocking to me because WWE loves to put people's fucking clothes in a bag and send it to the fucking to their house by FedEx. But apparently that this announcement has not been made yet, and they have yet to confirm in which this is transpiring. Closest in the back have said that there are those who believe that, yes, this is a done deal. There was talk that Sasha's peoples, her handlers, were trying to get her out the deal, and WWE has yet to confirm whether she has been released. And I think it's because they have other things to attend to these days. We'll talk about it a little later. But yeah, it looks as though that, yeah, she may be out the door. And I guess kudos to her. Hey, do what you got to do, right?
18,000 people calling you an asshole.
Let me take a sip of my beer first. It's one of those days I can actually have a beer, so I might actually have a sip. We have Randy Orton is possibly going to be out for the rest of the year. Take a bow, sir. You deserve it. Honestly. I mean, while I sip my beer, hold on. Glug, 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 glug. Yeah. Looks as though he'll be out for the remainder of the year due to back injuries and surgeries. You know what? It's fine. And it's tricky. You got to take time off with your back because your back is one of the most sensitive and delicate areas on the body, and you don't really want to rush back from that kind of injury. So take your time, do what you got to do. And it actually would fit in my mindset, would fit perfectly for his return to happen at Royal Rumble, because imagine him and Cody coming in at the same time and maybe leading to a long storyline, which will lead to the main event, which would be possibly a Seth Rollins or Brock Lesnar, whoever, kind of deal. Sorry, beer went down the wrong way. To me, if done properly, can actually lead to a very good storyline. And I know a lot of people are like, well, what about the younger guys that's supposed to be there? What about the... Yeah, I get that. But right now, WWE, they're going to need the heat, and they're going to have to bring it real big because, yeah. What's going on with Vinnie Mac
and John Laurinaitis
does not look well on the radar. And it, I'll get to that in a minute, but in any case,
I'm the landlord and rent's due, you son of a bitch.
I found this story interesting, and shout out to Mama Dukes who brought this my way. Sherry Shepherd apparently has heat with MJF. I'll explain. Sherry Shepherd, the comedian slash talk show host who was covering for Wendy Williams while she was out, was on a flight recently, and she was on a flight with her son, and her son noticed that on the plane was Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Her son, being a huge wrestling fan, motioned to her mother, motioned to his mother that, you know, MJF was right there. MJF was basically being MJF, sitting there and not interacting with others. And Sherry wasn't sure whether or not it was him, approached him and asked, excuse me, are you MJF? And he denied it profusely, so much that I was like, no, I'm not him. I'm not him. By the way, you could go look it up for yourself. Google it. She tells a story on the show. And she found it to be very rude. She was so much so that she was about to let him have it until her son said, no, 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 mom, you have to understand that's him. That's how he is. That as a wrestler, he's, you know, a bad guy. He's not supposed to be nice to people. But she's like, well, the hell he shouldn't shit, you know. She also mentioned later on that she said she was going to have a discussion with someone in the back in which she knows very well who works for AEW to talk to him about the said situation, and that the person said to her, conveyed to her, yeah, we'll look into that. Don't worry about it. We got you. I wonder who that would be. Of course, I'm thinking of all black people. Because, you know, Sheriff. I'm thinking like Mark Henry and shit like that. Imagine Powerhouse Hobbs go over there and beat the shit out of him for that shit. I'm like, automatically, I go to black folk. Who the fuck she knows? But yeah, that was actually an interesting story, and I actually like the way that the kid covered for that. I mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to be an asshole about it, but I mean, I kind of respect the fact that he did. Hell, fuck it, I really respect that he did. Fuck that, I did. But even still, I thought that was actually a really cool story. Shout out to moms who brought that to me.
18,000 people calling you an asshole.
I think I used that one already. The Rock buys his cousin Tamina a house. This was probably one of the most heartwarming fucking stories that I saw in a long time in wrestling. In case you guys don't know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Tamina are related. I don't really know how. So I believe that she is Samoan, but Jimmy Snooker, who was her father by adoption, is from Fiji. So I really have to look into like the whole intertwinings of how this occurred, but seems as though that The Rock bought her a house. And when you watch the video, I believe I shared it on the Turnbuckle Tablet page. It's a beautiful sentiment. I mean, like, wow. Yo, I love my family. I mean, I love my family so much so that I try to stay away from them because I don't want to hate them down the line. But I just recently spent some time with my family. Shout out to my baby girl, Kayla, my cousin who, she was my first kid, actually. I raised, you know, she was the first kid that I began raising. Shout out to her. She's a grown woman now. We went bowling and shit. But, you know, although we live in the same city and really we're only maybe about 15, 20 minutes away by mass transit, 10 by fucking Uber or by taxi or livery, we are the only ones that moved away from our neighborhood. And not to say that we don't love our family. We love them dearly. But, you know, sometimes you're like, it's a little bit too much. And but it's also a beautiful sentiment that you can do something like that for family members. I thought that was so fucking endearing and loving. And just to see her reaction to it. It was a nice house, too, from what I've seen. And when you have a fucking mega millionaire cousin who can do that for you. I'm not clocking nobody's money. No, not at all. I'm not looking at nobody's money. No, not at all. I like I said, that was such a beautiful thing. And it makes you feel as though you only could hope that not to be that extreme to buy someone a house, but just the little things. And you know that someone in your family would need or would help or just acknowledge or just a sentiment means a lot to people. And that was a beautiful fucking look. And while I'm at it, let me piggyback off this story. I just saw this and I found it. I had to look at it. Speaking of The Rock, The Rock ended his relationship with Logan Paul after a 2017 controversy. This is what I'm getting this from a new wrestling feed. And it comes from Logan Paul, who said on the True Gordy podcast, "This is the saddest point in my life, I have to say. After Japan happened, I obviously found myself in a hole, rightfully so, that I was never been in before. Extremely low mentality. Got a call from a publicist who repped Dwayne Johnson. She was like, hey, Dwayne has asked that you move every video and picture that you've done with him. Maybe in the future that the relationship will reconcile, but for now, he basically wants nothing to do with you, which I understood and I get it and made a grotesque error." Now, the story in which he's speaking of is of an incident in which he went to Japan, and there was it's a place called Suicide Forest, in which he walked through it for his YouTube video and was mocking it. This is a forest in which many of people in that culture who want to end their lives, they'll go there and hang themselves or commit harakiri, whatever the case may be. And he mocked it. So after that, the Rock said, "You know what? Fuck you, dude. Hey, listen, I got a fucking rep though, because if dude was at that level to be friends or have some kind of connection with the Rock at that time, shit, like." As much as motherfuckers hate on him and his brother, like, that's kind of big time right there. That's like 5 years. Bro, like, that's says some shit. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to two well-known referees in the WWE. First of all, we say goodbye to Dave Hebner, brother of Earl Hebner. Dave Hebner was a referee for WWE, for the WWF early on. You might remember him for his calling the matches WrestleMania 5 with Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, and many, many more. He was also integral in the main event in which Hogan lost his title to Andre due to the twin referee spot with Ted DiBiase, and in which we found out that his brother Earl was paid to play as he in role so Andre could win the title and hand it over to Ted DiBiase. WWE had a falling out with Dave later on due to he and his brother apparently having some issues with selling merchandise under the WWE umbrella, which they shouldn't have. But even so, Dave went on to, and his brother went on to have still stellar careers. Yeah, man, so it's an unfortunate loss. I didn't even, you know, I'm not going to act like I knew him, but no one in the wrestling community knew that he was that ill. And Tim White, another well-renowned WWE, WWF referee for many, many years. Tim White is known closely for his stories and his handling of Andre during the years early on in his refereeing career, as well as being the focal point during the Ruthless Aggression era of Tim White Tries to Kill Himself vignettes. I don't know what the fuck that was about. I still to this day don't know why it was, but he was also very well liked and well known in the back and helped to put together some great, great matches in his career with the company. So our condolences to both and to the families. We say goodbye to our friends.
Your face looks like my nuts, except you got a hairier bush.
So, as I drink a beer, I finally come down the lane to discuss the Jeff Hardy incident. By this time, it's already a week past, but fuck it. I'll put my 2 cents in it. Seems as though that Jeff is still being Jeff. As you guys know, he was pulled over for DUI. Apparently, cops drew guns on him. The man had a blood alcohol level that was 3 times the legal limit. And there's been a volleying back and forth about the whole incident in which people want to blame Matt Hardy for not being on top of his brother. Rebbie Hardy was has said to have been very tongue-in-cheek about the incident. People believe that AEW was to be at fault because of the predicaments and such and matches they were putting him in, which were not helpful to him. I love how everybody else was to blame for this, but the person who is to blame for this. The man has a problem. And this is his third DUI in 10 years. He was driving with a suspended license. I'm not sure whether or not his car had a breathalyzer on it. And not a breathalyzer, one of those things where you breathe on it just to start the car. Like, I don't know. Because I'm like, how would they have that if he's driving on a suspended license? Said the cops pull him over, so I'm weaving in and out of traffic. He's going about 15, 20, 25 miles per hour. But even so, that's still fucking dangerous. This shit could have been a Sunny incident. You know, regardless of what you said, that, you know, how fast he was going, you never know what the fuck can happen. You're driving a machine. A kid could have been walking across. Well, not a kid. But maybe. You never fucking know. Shit be happening. You don't know. The guy has a fucking problem. And apparently he's not ready to come to terms with it. So this is how you come to terms with it, to let him know he needs to come to terms with his shit. It's real easy. I'm going to make it easy for you guys. Take a listen. Like, come in a little bit close if you don't get it. You know, take your headphones, squeeze a little bit tighter in your head, or pass this on to a message to the higher-ups, whatever fucking promotion that you can book them for, or in the future, or whatever the case may be, or Tony Khan, or whoever the fuck. This is the easiest thing you can do. Quickly. Ready? Don't book him! He has to hit the skids. And you booking him just lets him say, hey, I could keep doing the bullshit if I want. You think this is the first time that he's gone back to drinking? He was at an event. He was at some kind of fucking WrestleCon bullshit. Then he went to, you know, play acoustically for his weirdo fucking music that he plays. And then he had a couple of fucking sangrias or fucking Angry Orchards or whatever the fuck he was drinking and got a little bit too inebriated. Nobody checked him because, listen, you're Jeff Hardy. You're a big fucking name at a venue. People know who you are. No one sat there and said, I don't think you should be doing that. But hey, fuck it. Hey, Jeff, another round on me. Fuck it, bring it, Holmes. Come on. Plus, it's Florida. I'm sorry you guys from Florida. I'm sorry, but you're the reason why you're the fucking dicks of the United States. Look at the map. You look like a fucking penis. You're the reason why you're the dicks of the United States. While I sip my beer. I mean, honestly, the world is his enabler. The wrestling world is his enabler. Don't blame Matt. Matt got his own fucking life that he has to deal with. He's a recovering himself. You can't fucking blame him for that shit. How are you going to put him in that predicament? Where's his wife? Where's his wife in this whole shit? Everybody's at fault but the man himself. Okay, AEW, yeah. Why the fuck are you putting him in matches in which you already know this fucker is going through pain issues? No, I'm good. I could jump off a fucking ladder in a match that means nothing. Yeah, no, that's a good. Put me in a match where I'm going to get a fucking concussion. And then you want to book me for another fucking ladder match after. I digress because, like I said, it's not their fault. It's not their fault because at the end of the day, and I grip my teeth saying this shit because I don't want to blame them, but at the end of the day, he is the responsible party that needs to be acknowledged, that needs to acknowledge his fucking faults. You need to sit there. Listen, let me give you a fucking heads up. Jeff, you don't get a bonus for fucking doing a match that you don't need to do because you're under a contract. Honestly, you're doing it for fucking shits and giggles for people at the end of the day who are not going to give a fuck about you when you get fucking 5 years in jail for doing stupid shit like a DUI again.
But what about the Usos? WWE enables them.
Yeah, them too. They are at fault for still letting him get the pass. But who else is at fault? The fucking Uso. Him too. That's another motherfucker that needs to hit rock bottom and be like, maybe I need to stop the bullshit. Maybe, just maybe they need to stop their fucking bullshit. The number one thing that you want to do since you are the one is stop your fucking bullshit and stop fucking DUIs. You guys make fucking money. Call an Uber. Get a driver. Yo, I know people out here who are tied with different promotions, local fucking indie promotions, who they would fucking give their left nut to drive a wrestler around. I get a lot of good stories from people who do that. And it's always disclosed. I never mention who it is. But I always get a lot of good stories from people who drive around wrestlers because they look for that shit. And they'll do it for cheap. Some of them will do it just for a fucking hot dog and a handshake because they just want that interaction with a wrestler. Shit. Like, honestly. Get a fucking... Yo, I don't understand these people. I get an Uber just to go to a fucking pizzeria that's across the street if I can. Shit. Honestly. But for fuck... I don't get it with these people. I don't understand. I don't fucking get it. The only people that need to be held accountable is fucking the individuals. Because they are the ones at the end of the day that are responsible for themselves. They didn't know what they're doing. Tony Khan ended up suspending Jeff Hardy for now. I don't know whether or not that means anything. It's once again, WWE sat there and wanted to get him help. He refused. His suspension, is it going to help? Like I said, maybe, because like I said, you can't keep booking somebody because they're going to feel like they can keep getting away with shit. So let's just see. Let's just see. Just to piggyback off the allegations that are occurring with WWE, Vince McMahon, John Laurinaitis, the payouts, the buyouts, the NDAs, the hush money, Stephanie McMahon stepping into cover for Vince being the interim CEO and chairwoman of the company and sorry guys, but Vince is still part of creative. So much so that Vince came out on SmackDown this past Friday and told you motherfuckers without saying so, I ain't going anywhere, motherfuckers. I'm still in the building. I'm back. No chance in hell. Combine both songs. He's not going anywhere. This old fucking coot is showing you people that I'm untouchable. I'm unflappable. I sat there in the last episode. I was like, I wonder if he's going to be backstage, if he's going to still be in Gorilla. Yeah, he's not going anywhere. This goes to show you what, and I hesitated to say white privilege, power privilege, individuals of power, how they are able to manipulate situations regardless of the fact of what is said to them. Trump. Yeah. Look at this. Yeah. It shows prudence that, yeah, he is. He's unflappable. The man does not believe what he does is wrong. Nothing. And apparently, the shareholders and the powers that be are doing further investigations of this because it's said that there is more incidents of this of occurring during the years. This is not the first time. If Vince was an owner of an independent wrestling promotion, you just get Me Too'd and that's it, and he'll be like, ah, whatever the fuck. But now you are, well, not now because, you know, this has been for years, but you are a publicly traded company. You are a stockholder. And you now are responsible for millions upon millions upon billions of dollars and people under you for instances that are not coinciding with the ethics of your business, but yet you're able to come out on your live televised show and say, we're true to the same tagline in which we are. Then, now, forever, and most importantly, together. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen, and walk out with a fucking smile on your face. He just pulled out his dick, smacked you in the face with it, and asked you, what did that feel like? And y'all motherfuckers in the crowd, you people in the crowd fucking cheered him. How? You are no different than fucking MAGA supporters who are hearing these fucking January 6th hearings and still will suck fucking Trump's dick until the cum comes out. How? That was the biggest shit for me. There's no way I sat there and applauded this man for doing what the fuck he did. No way. Of course I watched because I'm like, there's no way. I thought he was going to sit there and maybe give the transition of power to Stephanie, show that. Maybe. Look, guys, I'm going to go away for a little bit, but I'll be back. And just know that WWE will still stand strong as the leader of sports entertainment. No! He came out, whipped out his dick, and said, what do you think? This was astonishing. And you motherfuckers in the crowd ate it all the fuck up. Let me tell you, I have a love-hate relationship with wrestling, just I have a love-hate relationship with the NFL. I love football, one of my favorite sports of all times, but them motherfuckers is just as corrupt, misogynistic, racist, and anti-progressive when it comes to players as wrestling. They're no different. But yet, I still watch it because it's almost like watching in the business wise, it's like watching a train wreck to see how things get mangled in the back and people turn around and go, there's nothing to see here. We're good. Everything's all right. Everything's fine. We're good. But Vince is, wow. And don't think that this company is going to progress with a McMahon at the helm if and when it's finally going to happen that Vince has to go, be it by death or by fucking force out. Notice I put death first. This motherfucker will kill this company like Frankenstein's monster. the creator will get rid of his own fucking creation. He will not feel comfortable going to his fucking his dirt nap knowing that somebody else is running this company. I don't believe it. I don't see it. I can't. I can't see that happening. My best bet would be that anybody who's able to pay out and walk away with some money, they'll walk away starting a new company. Honestly, I don't see it. This egomaniac would not allow this to happen. I don't see it. But we'll see, shall we? When we come back, we're gonna have a round of square circle and much to talk about there as well. So guys, don't go anywhere. Stick around, and if you're having an off night, have a beer, have a shot. If you're not a drinker, drink some tea, or maybe some cough medicine that helps to ooze to ease your pain. I'm kidding. I'm not trying to force you guys to do anything because we got too much shit in our fucking world that's already enabling motherfuckers. So.
Hey, this is Madison, and my mom listens to Turbuckle Tabloid in the car. Jay, you curse too much.
Round the Square Circle. Brought to you by Project Codename Wrestling. Project Codename Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. Check these guys out. Their last event, Exodus, is on YouTube. Guys can check this out for free now, man. Get it while it's hot right now because this is not going to be happening for too long. This promotion is on the up and coming, and I think that you guys really need to start paying attention to them, man. Check them out on YouTube at Project Codename Wrestling. Big event that occurred this past weekend, and you got to get up on it. You have to jump up on it. I say this because we sponsor shit over there because we believe in it and we support the fam. So check out the guys at Project Codename Wrestling. Look them up on YouTube. Also check out this week House of Glory Wrestling. It's time, boys and girls. This upcoming Saturday, this 25th, it's going to be big things happening. Big things. Check them out on Fight TV as well. Matches galore happening out there. You guys are not going to want to miss that. It's going to be a fun time for everyone there. So check out House of Glory Wrestling at, on Fight TV this week. If you're in the New York City area, check them out at House of Glory Wrestling on their Facebook as well as their Instagram at HOG Wrestling, and look them up for ticket availability. So check out the guys out over there. So around the square circle, guys, got some things. We got some things we could talk about. There's some things under there. You know, I know some things. Impact Wrestling Slammiversary. I was able to grab it this past Sunday. And 20 years, man. Impact has been in the business for 20 years, formerly known as TNA. I'm glad they changed the name because when you hear the story of what TNA stands for, it was said to be total nonstop action. But, you know, when Russo was there, it was like, you need something that'll bring him in, dude. You need something that'll, bro. I mean, honestly, you need something that the fans will get it to. They'll love TNA, bro. Yeah. You forget that fucking advertisers and networks are going to be like, we know what the fuck that means, stupid. But they were able to grab a company, a network for a little bit until somebody said, yeah, you might want to change that. 20 years in the business. Slammiversary was this past weekend and fun times, man. I from what I was watching, I enjoyed Few matches on the card. The X Division championship match was fun. It's their staple match, and you guys really have to really respect and love the fact when although that they've had a history of goofiness, but their X Division matches have been key to building great champions and great matches. You get the Homicides, you get the Amazing Reds, you have Petey Williams, even AJ Styles, especially. You get those kind of matches. So check out their X Division match for this past pay-per-view. They had a change of the tag titles. Check out that match as well. We had a returning tag team from early days. America's Most Wanted came in. It was good to see them. Chris Harris actually looks really good for a guy of his age and his time away from the business in that kind of scale, that kind of level. He looks really good, man, and I'm hoping to see those guys get back. Just even if it's for a short run, it'll be great. The match that I thought I was going to fucking hate, but I ended up really enjoying, was the Moose and Sami Callihan match, the Monsters Ball match. I really wanted to hate this match because, you know, I'm not a deathmatch guy. I hate really hardcore shit, but gotta say, I had a really good time with it, and I really thought that Moose put this match over heavily, and shout out to him for that. We had a 10-man tag with the old school Impact guys, TNA guys, with Nick Aldis, Motor City Machine Guns, and blah blah blah, versus Honor No More with Eddie Edwards and his crew. Very good match in my eyes as well. Like I said, you guys take a look at it. I don't want to go do the full build up because it's still fresh. It would be something I would have done later on as a review, but I have to say, give it a view. The Impact shows, when it comes to pay-per-views, they always know how to put it together. Cultaholic on YouTube put together the rise and fall of All Japan. Everybody believes that New Japan was the be-all, end-all of Japanese wrestling, but you don't know where it came from, man, because Giant Baba and them peoples put together All Japan Wrestling. And there's such a lineage there. It's not the power company that it used to be before, but even still, it's interesting to hear their history. You guys should check that out. 83 weeks. Eric Bischoff did a breakdown about wrestle economics, which was interesting, which he broke down wrestling on how the finances in economics work. So I thought that was pretty interesting to look into. Cornette this week discussed the reasoning why Ted DiBiase left WWE or WWF at the time, how impactful the people's elbow is, and how much he hates it, how much he hates Kevin Dunn, the scandal, as we know, and much, much more with that. It's also his take on what happened this past week on AEW's Dynamite was hilarious. Williams Regal podcast. Guys, check it out. I am a fan. I've been a fan of Regal for the longest, and I was dying for him to get a podcast. And this is the outlet for him. I think the man is very wise. He has a lot of stories, and he's funny as shit. He discusses how the NXT influence affected AEW and his thoughts about comedic wrestling. And on Triple H and his initial thoughts and his initial beings, visions for NXT. It was very interesting for me to look at. Wrestling bios, check them out on YouTube. WCW Blunders was the insane the Asylum cage match. You guys remember that shit? That was Scott Steiner's gimmick matches. He only had about three of them. I looked at it and I said, it could have been better if designed differently, but I really don't think it was a bad gimmick. I actually thought it was pretty good. And MLW, we had MLW's triple threat tag match, which is pretty fun. Gotta wait. I gotta tell you guys, Danny Limelight for LAX. I don't know if he's genuinely an asshole or he knows how to be a heel, in the business and know how to work that gimmick, but he's not that bright because in this promo he cut, he said that Doc Rivers was fired from the 76ers. And I'm like, am I missing something here? I'm a sports guy. I didn't hear that. Am I missing something yet? Let me know if I miss something. And the Holodead versus Tyler Valkyrie for the MLW women's featherweight title was, I'm not going to say. I'll leave it at that. I will lead into Raw for last week, and I'm going to be honest with you. There's nothing there for me to comment on except for the Bobby Lashley Austin Theory pose down, which a lot of people gave hate and backlash to, and I totally agree with it. I'm with it. That was their main event to close it out. And I have to say that Vince, I thought about this for a long time, and especially with my experience and history with the company, Vince still thinks that Raw is like WWE Superstars, WWE Challenge, those kind of shows, because when you were growing up in the mid 80s, late 80s, early 90s, or even Shotgun Saturday Night, those kind of stupid fucking shows, that's how you close out a show. You don't close out a fucking 3-hour show with a pose down. This was his fucking jerk off session just to get Austin Theory over. I'm sorry. Look, the women have been doing fine closing out the main events. Becky Lynch and her story, I've been getting. I'm all right with that. The Rhea Ripley, Asuka thing, I'm okay with that. I'm fine with all that. If you were to close out the show again as them as the main event, it's fine. But fuck us in the ass with a barbed wire fucking corner on the cob. Are you serious? Fuck. And as of this recording right now, Raw is going on, and I've watched some minutes of it. We've got the reports that Rhea Ripley would not be participating in Money in the Bank. They did not disclose why. Everybody's saying injury. I'm just saying this because they're trying to put Asuka in the match, which is fine. I get it. Rhea doesn't need it. She will get her push later on, and proper storyline would get her in that main event run. And as for Vince coming out again on fucking Raw to announce that John Cena is the greatest wrestling fucking god of all time, that he's the greatest WWE wrestler of all time, and you fucking in the crowd. It's like Pavlov's law with you guys. You hear his theme music, and the first thing you do is fucking cheer. Robots, zombies, sheep, you guys just follow and never fucking could be the opposite with Vince. Why? Vince could be a heel these days in the storyline, and all he hears, no chance, that's all you got. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Vince could rape a fucking cow in the middle of the ring and you guys will applaud it. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Now, people are upset because they're talking about, well, he announced that John Cena is the greatest WWE wrestler of all time. I don't see a problem with that. I really don't. I mean, in and out the ring, the guy's a fucking superstar. How many fucking make-a-wishes did this fucking guy do? How many fucking make-a-wishes did The Rock do? How many did Stone Cold do? How many did The Undertaker do? How many did Kurt Angle do? How many did Edge do? How many did Randy Orton do? How many championships does fucking Cena have? Who's been more polarizing in wrestling in the past 20 years? It's been fucking Cena. Why are we arguing this? Why? You have your Mount Rushmore, so it's okay. Cena is the fucking Abraham Lincoln monument of the WWE. Say what you want. It is what it is, fam. I can't argue this. There's no debate with that. In the past 20 years, Cena has killed it. In the past history of WWE, WWF, yeah, the guy never left. He never left. Hulk Hogan left. Undertaker, can argue with that, but like I said, has his impact left? Has it streamed outside of WWE? Any movies, TV shows, anything commercially that had them draw eyes to the product? The Rock. Awesome. You're right. Great. Technically only been with the company for 10 years, if that, and then dropped in, made his visits, but his ambitions went other way. And not to take anything from him, because the guy's fucking great. He is the great one. But how many make-a-wishes he had? I'll wait. Stone Cold changed the fucking industry. Impactfully. He shifted when WWE was going to die. He brought the fucking company back on his back. He changed the fucking landscape. He made fucking wrestling cool again for that period. But did he have kids crying and grown men crying when he got hurt and get excited when he came back? I seen grown men wear fucking John Cena apparel. Shout out to my boy, fucking, my boy Louis. Grown fucking men. Grown, 30s. 40s wearing fucking John Cena hats, chain. I don't see an argument about that. Cena is possibly the greatest, if not the greatest. The greatest WWE wrestler of all time. I don't see the debate here. All right, that's gonna lead us up to AEW Dynamite.
it's Road Rager.
The name alone says, ooh, this stands out to be something, doesn't it? Opening match was Chris Jericho versus Ortiz. And there's way too much going on in this fucking match. Oh, my God. Way too much. The only thing that was a swerve for me that I was like, oh, okay, was the Fuego de Sol, Fuego de... What the fuck his name is? He jumped in, and I was like, what the fuck was that about? And Jericho gets the win because of the interference. Comes to find out that it's Sammy Guevara. You know, it's... Are we looking at just Jericho just trying to find a way to stay relevant these days? I'm okay with that. I have to. Because if we're just trying to hold on to the fact that Jericho has a legacy, then more power to you, fam. I'm increased by the annoyance of what's going on with him. I don't want to make this statement like as though like I'm watching my heroes just diminish. But after the stories that we've been hearing, and then with the MVP shit this past week, and then now this storyline, I'm like, whatever. We already knew that Ortiz was going to lose. By the way, it kind of sucks because I actually like fucking Ortiz. I like Monkey with the way his hair is. But I guess he was ready to cut it off because that's how it usually happens. The barber on ringside was fucking useless. Then it was way that Monkey cut his hair. Fucking Ortiz cut his hair. I was like, yo, he's a fucking G, because I told him fucking... fuck off. But I guess that was their reason to build for Blood and Guts. So I was okay with that. Next up, we get Wardlow versus the Security Squad. Filler, just to get Wardlow something else. This just the I swear I felt so bad because at the end, Tyrone Woodley and Matt Hughes came out. And if anybody knows Matt Hughes and his story in the UFC and such, it's a pretty like a tragic story what's happening with him. After Wardlow does the whole destroy the 20 security guards, after a while you couldn't even keep track of his shit. Lambert fucking announces that he has Tyrone Woodley and Matt Hughes ringside. And for those who don't know about Hughes' story, this guy was hit by a fucking train, basically. And no one knows whether or not it was a suicide attempt or the case, maybe. But we hadn't seen him in such a long time. To bring him out in the condition that he was in was terrible. That was bad. I would have at least had him in the upper deck sitting with Lambert and shit like that. That was just, it was sad. That was sad. That wasn't a good look. And then to have Wardlow talk and say that you guys are St. Louis guys and you're hardworking blue collar guys, and then they fuck. Hey. Stupid. Didn't make any sense. Then we get Dax Harwood versus Will Ospreay. Pay per view kind of match for me. I hate Ospreay's hair. That shit just annoys me. But the match wasn't perfect, but with the spots that they had that was kind of blotchy or botchy, as you could say, they were professionals to cover it up, which was good for me. I wouldn't fucking put it in the best of 2022 category, but I thought it was a really good match. I thought it was a fun match for the two. It wasn't a match that you would think you would often see, but it was one of those knock it off the dream match or the a notch in a belt kind of match for said wrestlers. Moxley did his face to face with Tanahashi, and oh my god, that whole thing was a fucking train wreck. It was just dreadful. The only people that really know what's going on is either wrestling insiders or fans of maybe those two promotions. Other than that, fucking Lance Archer comes out, fucking Desperado, Jericho came out at the same time. It was fucking abysmal. It was a shitstorm. Who allowed this? And people go, why do you hate on AEW? Because of shit like this. Because of fucking shit like this. We got pulled away from a possible confrontation that would have actually been good. And I know that Tanahashi is limited with his English, which was okay. It was fine. You know, he didn't have to do too much, but oof. Because it's a builder for the multi-tag match in fucking Forbidden Door. God, this is fucking bad. Next, we get for the All-American Tournament, we get Miro versus Ethan Page, which was not a bad match. But I'm sorry, but I couldn't really focus on it because of the previous segment, and it just took away from what that match was. Miro looked really good. Page actually worked better. You automatically knew that Miro was gonna win, but Page did as much as he could to work it. There were certain spots in that match that didn't make sense, but they made up for it in the back end. At the end of the day, Miro, in my opinion, is gonna win it all. So it's fine with a belt that with that namesake doesn't make any sense. We then get Toni Storm versus Britt Baker, and this was probably the best that I've ever seen Toni Storm look. I actually thought that she worked her best match here. Britt, yeah, it's just Britt. I mean, it's just her. But if her look was to put Toni Storm over, then she did her job. And I can't take anything away from that. But at the end of the day, Tony gets the win here. It's a well-deserved, well-worked finish. And yeah. Finally, we get in the main event, Young Bucks versus the Jurassic Express, because the Hardys was supposed to be in this match. But, you know, shit happens, right? Hey. Elbow, shit happens. This match was shit. It's trash. I don't care what anybody tells me. Oh my god, they fucking was spectacular. No, it was fucking garbage. It's typical Young Bucks shit. Get my shit over. I will not fucking put anybody else over. I'm sorry. This was trash. And if you really wanted to fucking take the Jurassic Express and make them look as bad as they did, you did a hell of a fucking job of it. Luchasaurus looked out of place in this match. Jungle Boy looked like he was fighting to fucking at least be the saving grace in this match, and he didn't. And of course, you got the two Cucamonga kids, like fucking Corny would say. But no, honestly, it's basically just trying to solidify that these guys do not want to let go and relinquish the fact that, okay, you guys are the backstage cornerstone, the building of why this company is here. But to be honest, yeah, should they have won? Yeah. Should they have won the way that they did? No. No. There's another way to build that. Then at the end, we get the Christian and Jungle Boy angle, in which Christian turns on him, and I go, the crowd goes mild. No one gave a fuck. No one cared. And they even did the stretcher angle to where Christian hit him with the fucking concerto, and no one cared. If you had even had kept the cameras rolling when he was talking shit to Jungle Boy's sister and mother, which, by the way, his mother's banging. God damn, they got some good shit going on over there. Any case, if that would have kept running, maybe, just maybe, that would have been impactful. But to me, no. I know everybody was like, oh, I knew he was going to turn on him. But I guess it's going to be this thing that we have to show highlights or reasoning to the dummies, which is me, because I don't know why the fuck he turned. Why would you turn on the kid? And why did you turn on fucking Luchasaurus, pussy? Fuck. Oh, God. It's whatever, man. This was trash. I didn't get it, and I fucking hated this shit. This is a fucking bad show, and go fuck yourself all around. I don't get it. So lead us up to Friday Night SmackDown. Friday Night SmackDown. Once again, I spoke about the opening with fucking Vince and Jesus Christ. I don't get it. After that, Riddle came out and he continues with the Randy promos, and I give him credit for trying to put Randy over and their friendship over, and that's cool. But when are we gonna stop? Because I love you, Randy, and we miss you. Because we know, bro, we do it for you. RK, bro. I'm gonna get tired of that shit soon. Last laugh match between Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin. I was so close of saying Happy Gilmore. I don't know why that was about to come out of me, but there's a star possibly in the making with Moss. I would not want to keep the name Madcap. I would probably want to go back to Riddick Moss. There is a star in the making there with him, and just make him be a kind of Batista-ish, or I would dare to say a Ryback, maybe. Just I mean, he can speak. He's okay. And I think he has an appeal to an audience, but there's something there for him. There is. I can't put my finger on it yet, but the look and the gimmick, just take the madcap away, and I think that they'll gravitate to it. The match with him and Corbin was shit. I think the end with Corbin shooting on cutting a promo on Pat McAfee is just basically going to be a lead up to a match for them, which is okay. It's fine. I'm glad to see that there's a sign that there's a finish to this. I'm just wondering what's next for Moss, because I could have him coast in the mid card for some time. Like he can have a nice mid card run. I wouldn't immediately have him go up against guys like Gunther or something like that, but I could see him, Moss, if the crowd backs him, Moss versus Gunther in a WrestleMania match, or Moss and Ricochet and Nakamura and those kind of match. I could see that. I'm okay with that. We get New Day versus Jinder and Shanky next. That shit was trash. Once the trumpet came out and Shanky started dancing, I was like, fuck you. Drew McIntyre and Sheamus promo for the, I guess, the last booking of the money. Not last booking, but who is the deciding factor of their Money in the Bank. Both of them is trash for it. This fucking segment made no sense. Then we get Rodriguez beating Shayna Baszler for the Money in the Bank spot. I'm hoping maybe that that she's one of those. I'm talking about Baszler, that she becomes part of the Money in the Bank again. Rodriguez didn't. You putting talent somewhere that they shouldn't be at this time. Just chill. You're going to put fucking Rodriguez over fucking Baszler? Oh, God. Unless you're telling me this, that you're keeping Baszler off the storyline because you want to have her have a confrontation with Ronda at SummerSlam, which makes sense because we know Ronda's not doing a long story and a long booking. So why don't we just book it to where Shayna just faces Ronda at SummerSlam? She wins, meaning Baszler. She wins, doesn't hurt Ronda. Ronda could go away for a little bit. And somebody cashes in on her, which will probably be fucking Rodriguez. And if she does, then hey, whoop-de-doo. You have another story there, right? Okay. Lastly, we get Roman Reigns versus Riddle for the Universal title. And hey, for you guys who don't think that WWE draws, looks as though that on a fucking Friday night where everybody should be hanging out, getting pussy or getting dick or getting drunk or whatever the fuck it is that you would do on a Friday night, where for me, usually is me having to go to work. They drew a 2.5 million fucking viewership. Wow. That's pretty fucking good for this day and age of wrestling. The match itself was pretty fucking good for this day and age. Of course, we knew that Riddle wasn't going to win, but God, the match was solid. And the boys stepped up. And I have to say that the boys stepped up. Talking about Riddle. Roman's a fucking draw. He's going to be a draw. And the numbers have solidified the fact that he is going to be a fucking draw. And he can go away and come back and do what he does. But what made it even quintessential was that after Roman said that, I'm done with everybody. It's over with. And who do we get? Brock Lesnar. And everybody said, oh, God, again. And usually me, I would say the same thing. Oh, God, not again. But where are they going to go? Where can they go? Money in the Bank is not solidified yet, so we don't know who's going to win that. And the guy that they wanted to lead into with it next would have been Randy. He's not coming back until the end of the year, so that's not going to happen. So where else could they go? Ah, I know. Seth freaking Rollins. Unless you're telling me there's a long story for Seth to be involved in this, I will be okay to wait for it. Because, especially with the outgoing Cody, outgoing Randy, build up for storylines with Drew McIntyre being involved in this, I will have to say that I can wait for that. But if this doesn't occur, then you drop the ball with the fact that Seth versus Roman could be something quintessential, especially with the fact that, you know, we're basically seeing the demolishing of the brand split. So Brock comes back, huge pop and well deserved, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. That's cool. Other than that, for those who think that, you know, you could talk shit about the fucking Vince nonsense and ridiculousness that occurred, fuck him for that shit. Fuck the company for allowing that shit. But at the end of the day, they fucking draw because Roman fucking pulled a 2.5 with Riddle. Yeah. When we come back. Next up will be, sorry, I thought it was almost done. Another segment coming out. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have AEW Rampage, guys. AEW Dynamite, ladies and gentlemen, gonna close it out this week. We get Dante Martin versus John Moxley. Haven't we seen this before? I'm wondering why they booked this way. Why do we do this? What's happening here? You're not helping Dante by doing this. Once again, we've seen him in singles against Blackpool Combat Club. We see him in tag matches with him. You're not doing him any justice by him not winning. I really think that they're just struggling to get them through it. And I'm talking about Dante, because it's not necessary. You could put him in a lot of other matches that'll put him over. This is not it. This is not it, fam. We get the noise of New York City behind me. We get Roughing It versus Gun Club and Matt Caster. Roughing It is a comprised team of Bear Country and Leon Ruff. Okay. Whatever works for you, fam. This was a bad match. Bad. I guess it's just a build up for the separation that's going to happen with the Acclaimed and the Gun Club, which I find weird that this was a pairing anyway, but okay. I guess they're waiting for Bowens to come back. Right. We then get Jade Cargill versus Willow Nightingale. I feel so bad for Nightingale because she's actually pretty good. She actually can work. I've seen her. I've seen her live. She can work. But it's just not doing her any good to be in a match with someone who's not good. And week by week, I'm watching her. I'm watching Jay Cargill, and I don't care what... You guys are blinded with the fact of that she's good-looking, and it's... Even that's not helping a lot. It's really not. Guys, stop it. Of course, Jay gets the win here. And, yeah. And finally, we get Darby Allin versus Bobby Fish. I guess this was a thrown-together match. And afterwards, we get, yay, all the faces together. I'm so fucking... I don't... Why? I can see why the numbers are diminishing in the view... Excuse me, in a viewership with Rampage. How is it that SmackDown gets 2.5 million on a fucking Roman and Riddle match? And you would think, I'm excited to watch wrestling. Let me watch more. And then you have Rampage and the fans go, yeah, we're not doing this. We're not watching this. How? It was in their regular time slot. What is this telling you? As much as you guys go, yeah, you know, you gotta understand it's late and whatever. No. I'm not buying that fucking excuse. No. This isn't good. It's not. It's a cop out to really say like. Dog, your product is trash, especially on a fucking Friday night. Your numbers are even diminishing in fucking on Dynamite. Why? Because you are geared to one fucking fan base and you're not exploring other avenues of wrestling. You are the hype kids on the block, and now everybody says, yeah, your fit is whack, yo. Your shit is 2 years ago, and you keep wearing the same shit. Move on, advance, do something different. Cut the shit. That's gonna wrap around the square circle as well as Turbuckle Tablet, guys. Make sure you check out the podcast at all podcasting outlets. Check us out on all the social media outlets, and make sure you check us out on all. Things connected to the world of RageWorks Network. RageWorks.net and as well as at RageWorksNetwork.com. Check out the family. Check out the people's good. Check out what we're doing every single week with our podcast and as well as the work that we're putting in. And finally, to close out this episode, I have to say that this past week was Father's Day, and every day is Father's Day for me, as I mentioned earlier, but I just want to make it clear to you guys that This has been a most important time for me because, you know, every year you get older, you never know what day is promised to you, especially what's going on day and times or what's happening with the people around you in this culture and the society that's happening with us. And I often said that each and every day that I'm on this earth, I'm a father first before anything else. And I make sure that I put that foot forward with that initiative. And I hope that those who aren't parents yet, who are looking forward to being parents, that when that day comes, that you are, I can never say prepared because you're never going to be prepared to be a parent. But when the day comes, when it happens, that you are, prepared in that sense to recognize that life is not about you anymore. It's about them. You can dress them up the way you want to. You can make them fly, make them fresh. You can, impose your beliefs and your standings and how you live. But at the end of the day, they're going to take each and every piece of what you've put together for them, and they're either going to use it as a tool for life, or they're going to rebel against it. And with that, you're going to look at them and say, I love you, my child, in which I do every single day with my daughter, in which I hold up my glass right now and I say to her, I love you, my child. All right, guys, we're going to be out of here. Take a bump, as always, I tell you guys. Love you, and love life. Love life. Be with it. And enjoy Drake's goofy album. I was listening to that shit the other day, and I was like, what the fuck is this? But yeah, to each his own. All right, guys, we're out of here. Later.
Turnbuckle Tabloid.
3, 2, 1.
Tabloid.